From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Dr. Brené Brown is vulnerable. We all are. She's a researcher and author of several books. Her most recent, Daring Greatly, expands on themes she discussed in two TED Talks that have been viewed more than 7 million times. In a nutshell, it is by fully owning our vulnerability that we forge strong connections to others. And Dr. Brené Brown, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
We live in a world where snark rules, where cutting remarks are the ones that get traction on Twitter, and sound bites that take another person down are considered successful. What place does vulnerability have in this world where snark rules?
Well, I think the snark makes vulnerability much more difficult. But truthfully, I think, you know, as a qualitative researcher, I'm kind of on the ground talking to people about their lives and experiences. And I think we're snarked out. I think that we live in a culture today of very deep scarcity, a culture that's really informed by this idea of never enough. Never certain enough, safe enough, perfect enough, extraordinary enough, good enough. And I think one of the ways that we respond to scarcity is fear, and fear drives snark. It's so much easier to criticize in our culture today than it is to contribute.
When you talk about scarcity, I think of all of the political campaigns and ads that we're seeing now, which are all about playing on fear and insecurity. It seems like that's the language of power on some level, making people feel as if they have a lot to fear.
You know, I think both sides of the political aisle, I mean, I think if you can keep the discourse centered on what should we be afraid of and who's to blame, I mean, I think there's traction. For us, we're like, oh my God, we want to be safe, we want to protect our kids, we want to have our jobs, you know. I think it speaks to us, but I think it has a saturation point. And I think my sense as a researcher and someone who kind of studies the zeitgeist and keeps really very tapped into it is we are at the saturation level. We are so tired of being afraid. When I was, you know, writing the book, I came across the Roosevelt quote. You know, it's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points at the strong man who stumbles. The credit goes to the man who's in the arena who, you know, to paraphrase, maybe getting his butt kicked, is winning occasionally, losing often, but always daring greatly. It took my breath away. I thought, this is everything I've ever learned about being vulnerable, you know, that we have this mythology that showing up and letting ourselves be seen is weakness. When in truth, it is courage. I mean, I think vulnerability is our best, most accurate measure of courage. I cannot find in 12 years of data a single incident of courage, moral courage, leadership courage, spiritual courage, you know, relationship courage, that was not absolutely birthed from sheer vulnerability.
Well, what does it mean to be vulnerable? You've just hinted at a few things, but I'm sure it's different things for different people.
It is. I mean, I came up with a very simple definition based on the widest range of answers that you could imagine. And the definition I use is that vulnerability is simply uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. And when we asked people, what does vulnerability feel like for you? What's an example? People said everything from starting my own business, selling a piece of art on Etsy, to talking to my mom's physician about hospice, waiting for my mammogram results. My first date after my divorce.
It's interesting that you're talking about those examples, Brené, because those are all times when people would say, buck up, you know, put on a tough skin. Whatever the result of your mammogram, you're going to be strong enough to get through it. These are times when we are told to get stronger and put more armor on.
I would say be stronger, be courageous, reach out for support, hold space for the uncertainty. When I talked to interviewed people, CEOs, creatives who really were responsible for significant disruptive innovation, I would ask them, you know, what's the barrier? What gets in the way? And the answer consistently was people are afraid of being laughed at. People are afraid of being ridiculed. People are afraid of being judged. They don't want to put the idea on the table that no one gets or understands. They can't stomach the vulnerability. And, you know, there is, in the absence of vulnerability, there is no innovation. There is no creativity. Yeah, vulnerability is scary. Yes, it's the center of things like grief and shame and fear and things we don't want to feel, but it's also the birthplace of love and empathy and trust. You know, to deeply love someone, to feel passionate about a cause is absolutely vulnerable because we're walking into total uncertainty. I mean, I think the greatest example than I can think of is saying I love you first in a relationship.
I wonder if, you know, people sharing on Facebook, we talk about the sort of lack of privacy and people making their whole lives exposed. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that urge has to do with, you know, being publicly vulnerable.
One of the myths behind vulnerability is that it's letting it all hang out. And it's not. And vulnerability is really about sharing really intimate parts of our lives with people who've earned the right to hear them. I always say live tweeting your bikini wax or sharing intimate details of your divorce on Facebook, that's not vulnerability. But I do think the oversharing sometimes is a response to our desperation because we don't feel seen and heard. It's a lot easier to put something online and walk away than to pick up the phone and share something that's hard with someone. What we're trying to do is mitigate some of the risk that you can't hotwire connection.
You're talking about things in a human and a public sphere, and I think about work. Twice last week I was told to by people, you need to grow a thicker skin. And I remember one of the first things that I was told when I was in management several years ago, that people mistake kindness for weakness. You're kind of on a mission to change that. How do you change it? Is this a person-by-person change? Is this a policy change? I mean, how does this work?
Mary Pfeiffer, who is just an incredible writer, she has a quote that says, change is a million individual acts of kindness. To me, I believe that we can start making changes when there's a critical mass making different choices. You know, in my work, I'm told all the time to grow a thick skin, but I'm not interested in a thick skin. The thick skin metaphor, it's really powerful because what it means is that if you say something that's hurtful to me, I can't feel it. But if you say something that's tender and important to me, I can't feel it either. When you get a thick skin, you get calluses on your feet, you don't get to wake up one morning and say, you know what, I don't really want them today. One of the things I've learned is that it's a much more courageous way to go to say, no, this is my skin, and I have feelings that can be hurt. I am very clear on my life about whose opinions of me matter. And those for me are people who love me, not despite my imperfections and vulnerabilities, but because of them. Those people, I'm interested. If you send me an email that said, read your book, cannot believe you forgot the entire piece of academic literature on this issue. I don't think we can talk about this unless you talk about this. I want to know that because maybe I forgot it. There's a great chance I did. I'm completely imperfect and human. But if your job is a professional bleacher sitter and all you do is hurl criticism and judgment, I'm not interested. You know, I think we could avoid a whole lot of it if everyone was trying and everyone knew the vulnerability of putting themselves out there, of showing up and being seen. I think we would be a lot more mindful about what we said and did to other people.
Well, Dr. Brené Brown, I want to thank you for stepping into that arena today.
Thank you for having me on, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Dr. Brené Brown is a research professor at the University of Houston Graduate School of Social Work. She's also an author of several books, most recently Daring Greatly. You can find out more about her work and see links to her two TED Talks at wordofmouthradio.org.